Day 267, Sunday, October 22nd, 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2 1-36 NKJV. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Not the bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt, they did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe, and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord." Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature, and in favor both with the Lord and men. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel my people?" Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and say, please, put me in one of the priestly positions, that I may eat a piece of bread. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading program states, Eli's sons are incorrigible. They do not administer their priestly responsibilities in the manner commanded in the law. They commit other sins as well, verse 22, and cause the Israelites to sin, verse 24. The people even begin to despise God's offerings, to hate coming to Shiloh for the Passover or for a voluntary sacrifice. Verse 17. God sends a prophet to Eli to pronounce judgment on him for allowing these sons to continue to serve as priests. The judgment is severe, and involves the eventual end of Eli's descendants serving as priests. In verse 35, God says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Samuel was not that replacement, as he was not of the priestly line and his sons did not continue in his role. Eli's descendants retained the high priesthood for a few more generations until Solomon sent Abiathar, a descendant of Eli, into forced retirement, 1 Kings 2:26-27. Then Zadok took over any duties Abiathar had, 1 Kings 2:35, and, from that point on, the high priest was reckoned through the line of Zadok. It is evident from the prophecy of Ezekiel that the Zadokite priesthood was faithful to God, and the time will come when all earthly priests will be descendants of Zadok, not just Aaron. See Ezekiel 43:19, 44:15ff, 48:11. Although Hannah brought her son a new robe every year at the Passover, verse 19, it is probable that she saw him more often than that since her hometown of Ramah was only 15 miles south of the tabernacle in Shiloh. Nevertheless, she was undoubtedly kept very busy taking care of Samuel's five younger brothers and sisters. Verse 21. And, verse 1, these are beautiful words of praise from Hannah to the Lord. They remind and encourage us of how God is in full control of all things and He can at any point save us from difficult circumstances and help us in our time of need. He is not limited in any way. Regarding her saying my horn is exalted, the John Gill commentary states, now she could lift up her horn and her head, as horned creatures, to whom the illusion is due, when they are lively and strong, now she could look pleasant and cheerful, and even triumph, being raised to an high estate, and greatly favored of the Lord, to whom she ascribes this change of her state and circumstances. It was owing to his power and grace that she was thus strengthened and exalted, as it is owing to the same, that the people of God, who are in a low estate by nature, are raised out of it in conversion, and brought into an open state of grace and favor with God, and put into the possession of rich blessings and mercies, and of hope of eternal glory, on account of which they can exult and triumph. And, verse 10, Regarding this statement and exalt the horn of his anointed, the JFB commentary states, this is the first place in scripture where the word anointed, or Messiah, occurs, and as there was no king in Israel at the time, it seems the best interpretation to refer it to Christ. There is, indeed, a remarkable resemblance between the song of Hannah and that of Mary, Luke 1:46. Verse 11, regarding the child ministering unto the Lord, this Hebrew word means to attend to serve, to wait on. Samuel was a servant of the Lord. Verse 12, the NKJV says the sons of Eli were corrupt. This word here translated corrupt is most often translated as Belial, compare Deuteronomy 13:13. Its root means worthlessness, without profit. It's also translated as evil and wicked. Verse 13, this is something that the sons of Eli had come up with and had become a practiced custom among the priests. As we saw in the early chapters of Leviticus, God was very specific in detailing how and what parts of the offerings were to be used. This appears to be in association with peace offerings. The JFB commentary states, when persons wished to present a sacrifice of peace offering on the altar, the offering was brought in the first instance to the priest, and as the Lord's part was burnt, the parts appropriated respectively to the priests and offerers were to be sodden. But Eli's sons, unsatisfied with the breast and shoulder, which were the perquisites appointed to them by the divine law, Exo 29:27, Lev 7:31, Lev 7:32, not only claimed part of the offerer's share, but rapaciously seized them previous to the sacred ceremony of heaving or waving. See on Lev 7:29. And moreover, they committed the additional injustice of taking up with their fork those portions which they preferred, while still raw. And, verse 16, even the people not serving in the priesthood knew this wasn't to be done and tried to advise them on the proper order. But the priests were foolish and wouldn't listen to wise counsel. Verse 17, the peace offering was meant to picture a time when God, the priests, and the people were at peace and sharing a meal together in unity and oneness. It was supposed to be a joyful celebration and feast, yet the people despised bringing these peace offerings because of the terrible behavior of the priests. Verse 21, Hannah was obedient, dedicated, and faithful, and God blessed her with more children. Hannah was once barren and brokenhearted. She now had many children and was greatly blessed. Verse 22. It's almost unbelievable how despicable these priests were acting. Verse 26. This almost exact same thing is said about Jesus Christ in Luke 2:52. Verse 31. The family of Eli would lose their strength, power, and influence. Verse 32, the NKJV adds in my, it changes the meaning. Other translations state this more clearly. The ERV states, good things will happen to Israel, but you will see bad things happening at home. No one in your family will live to be an old man. Verse 33, Adam Clark's commentary contains, the posterity of Eli possessed the high priesthood to the time of Solomon. And even when that dynasty was transferred to another family, God preserved that of Eli, not to render it more happy, but to punish it by seeing the prosperity of its enemies, to the end that it might see itself destitute and despised.